Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hey folks, the danger of a podcast is that it's dated, right? And right now in the world, crypto and specifically Bitcoin is blowing up. But I'm sure even if you're listening to this recording months from now, you're probably going to see that because, Katie, Bitcoin is one of these things where there's memes, there's jokes online, but you know, people remember when it was expensive at $50, you know, or expensive at $5 or expensive at $100. And today, well, I won't even say what it is today because then people will know the date, but let's just say it's crazy. It is crazy, crazy money. And when people hear of Instant IP, I know we were just chatting pre-show. A lot of people think blockchain and crypto are the same thing. And I know Caldwell's done some really good work around IP protection with AI and crypto and blockchain. But why don't we tell the story about Instant IP and even our meeting and getting together in like 21 and 22 and how the industry has changed? What do you think?
Yeah, I love that because I think you have such a great story as an entrepreneur, and you are a prime example of somebody who's had this massive technological shift from when you first started to now.
Yes.
And I think that's something a lot of entrepreneurs can really relate to, where they start off their company with this very specific vision and this product in mind, and then that really shifts over time.
Yep.
And it morphs into something so much bigger, so much greater than what they originally expected and were contemplating.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about blockchain for years. I honestly, in my mind, like, I'm a visual person. So I forget, I saw on Facebook years ago, somebody say the word blockchain. And I don't know what in my mind, but I literally thought of a chain and a block. And I'm like, what are they even talking about? Like, I didn't get it. I totally didn't get it. So it was, and I think when people don't get something, they're afraid of it. Don't you feel?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like electricity.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you think, you look at Tesla and, you know, Einstein, or not Einstein, Edison, they're introducing electricity. And because of that, there's a lot of fear, and can it burn you? Will it kill you? Don't you think the fear just kind of grows when you don't know something?
Fear. And I think that fear then leads to avoidance, because then you think, okay, I don't know, you know, something like a blockchain or electricity, I don't know anything. I'm just going to stay away from it because it's too complex.
Yes.
Too uncertain. And so I think it morphs into this whole bigger total avoidance factor too.
Yeah. And AI can be thrown into that too. Like AI, it's going to replace us, and it's going to, you know, it's going to take over us and dominate us. And yeah, so you're right. People then avoid it. So rather than avoid it, I said, I'm going to read a book on it, or I'm going to listen to a talk on it, or I'm just going to, you know, a lot of times I do cycling. So I just grab my phone and I pop on YouTube and I listen to videos on a topic. And I think I started to listen to it. And one of the books that changed my world was a book called The Truth Machine. Okay. So it approached blockchain from the truth. And I was like, ooh, I like that. So I started to read it, and again, this was 2021, and fake news, and like, who can we trust, and deep fakes, and is social media even real? Did the person really say that? That was all floating around. So I read the book called The Truth Machine, and I realized, oh my gosh, because of the way blockchain is created, it's transparent. And they use this term called trustless. And at first I heard that, I was like, trustless? What do you mean that you're not supposed to trust it? And it's the complete opposite. It's that you don't need to have previous knowledge. You can go to the technology and you don't need to invest trust. It doesn't even require trust. It's almost like Airbnb, where you don't have to put down money and then go tour the house. Or you don't have to go to Uber and be like, wait, I'm going to inspect your car and let me see your driver's record. It's Uber is a trustless. You just literally say, I need a car, and there pulls up the license plate. Does it match? I'm in. And it's a trustless technology. And anytime there's a trustless technology, it's even more trustless than Uber. Uber might have a jacked up person, or might have somebody. Airbnb might have a bad actor. But with blockchain, you literally are eliminating bad actors. You know,
right.
because it's what's called cryptographic. And cryptographic,
it's immutable.
It's immutable.
Right.
It's immutable. Yeah. So like A, you can't fake it. I tell people it's a global, transparent digital ledger that tracks every transaction. And people might think transaction, they might be like, well, I'm not a bank. I want people to realize though that everything they do is a transaction. I just bought this from Smoothie King. We had a transaction, okay? Even relationships are sometimes called transactional because of the term. Like literally, you know, I'm in my wife's office. She's a therapist. People walk in the door, they sit down, and they're having a counseling session, which the board of Ohio recognizes that that was a transaction. Like she, oh, you're getting me going, Katie. This is all spontaneous here. But there's session notes.
Yeah.
About the, you see that about the client? I don't know. The client name. Like, so even the state of Ohio says like, oh, you had a transaction. Now, did she? We don't know. The session notes are supposed to prove it, but you and I both know you can fake it. You can do it after the fact, 2 months later. But with a blockchain, because you just said it, you said it's an immutable timestamp. Nobody can say it's fake.
That's right.
Like the transaction either happened and you can see the time stamp, the smart contract, or you didn't. And what that does is it like creates this very high level of security where now I started to study this, Katie, and then I'm like, whoa, what if we put intellectual property on that? And I, of course, you know me as a publisher, I saw it through books.
Yeah, I think that's such a great part of your story is that originally you were thinking about putting the blockchain on a book so that then you could track authenticity of books, authorship, copyrights, all that. And then as that took off, then you morphed it over into, hey, why just only apply this to books? I can apply this technology to everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a key part of your story where you originally had this very niche idea in this particular industry because this was a problem you were seeing every day as a publisher. And then as that really became a product, you realized, wow, wait a second, this has so much broader reach and applications to so many other industries and products too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It really, it's like anything, you had to get into it before you saw the use cases. And I'll tell you what, Katie, in the beginning, I had some other people kind of like see what I saw as I started to share the vision with them. But I'll tell you what, and this gets to our topic today of Bitcoin. As the crypto market went up and down since 2021, people's desire and passion waned. You know, at first they're like instant IP. Oh, whoa, crypto's up. That's awesome. And then they're like, wait, crypto's down. Oh, it's dead. And what I think instant IP is, that's very different than, I've heard this from a lot of blockchain people, because, you know, I spoke in the London Blockchain Conference in 2024 and it was big. I mean, it was really big and lots of people are there. And here's the magic word in Bitcoin and crypto and blockchain: utility. So NFTs, art NFTs, went up and down. They were a big trend. And the reason why they failed, a lot of times people would say, is because it was a collectible and there was no utility. And that's been the big push with blockchain, is everyone thought it would change the world, but very few people were able to say, but here's a practical use case. But instant IP has a massive practical use case. That's the first thing people say when they see it. They're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, because it actually has a use case. But I just want people to realize there's other use cases for blockchain. Like an example would be, and we say this all the time, that blockchain is the railroad and crypto essentially, it uses crypto, but it's not crypto. Like people, I don't want people to think of blockchain and cryptocurrency as the same thing. Blockchain is the railroad that crypto runs on, but a lot of other things can run on blockchain. Example, have you ever gone to Chipotle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So a few years ago, they had a contamination and people started to get sick. This was probably in 18, somewhere around there. And they had to shut down all the restaurants across the nation for like 6 to 8 months. And it was like,
I remember
this?
Yeah.
And like, it was massively detrimental to people's health, trust. Think about it. What if you worked there? What if you were an investor? You know, right. All kinds of stuff. They realized it was a contamination, I believe, on an Australian beef farm. And then they started to realize, oh my gosh, what if we would have had all of our suppliers simply just check in their product on the blockchain? They said that it would have taken 8 minutes to find out the contamination versus 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because again, you're taking a transaction, you're digitizing it, and you're making it immutable. And now when you pop those tomatoes on from Louisiana, you know, you can actually know time, date, second, location. And this is why people are starting to say with blockchain, oh, you can figure out if it was fair trade coffee or fair trade chocolate.
Right.
Or did that wine really come from that orchard? Like that's some of the use cases. Are you starting to see? I know you work with a lot of companies, but do you see how that could work?
Oh, yeah. This has been a huge thing for years. I've been seeing this because, you know, I'd say probably 5-6 years ago, a major industry patenting a lot of blockchain was banks, because they knew, okay, if we could have secured trust in tracking transactions that are occurring, this can ultimately save us time, especially with so much credit card fraud, yeah. Just all these fraudulent charges, and you never know, is it really real or not? And then, you know, as sort of different financial applications started, then I've seen a lot of applications too in the medical setting for hospital systems, medical records to be stored on blockchain, right? So that then we know, okay, when you were hospitalized, did you really get that medication? Did you not? Did you have that procedure? Did you really not? Right. And there's even been, I think last year, there was some laws put into place where even pharmacies now, they have to have a way to track drug products all the way from the moment the chemicals for the drug are sourced, all the way down till when the patient swallows the medication. How can we kind of track every transaction that occurs there? And so application,
hey,
that
Katie.
They're looking at, hey.
Hey, I'm back. I'm sorry. Must have been me. Must have been me. Repeat that one part where you said about blockchain and banks. Sorry.
When blockchain really kind of first became a very buzzworthy topic, this was maybe back in, I want to say maybe 2018, 2019.
Sure. Yeah.
One of the biggest prolific filers of blockchain patents was banks. Bank of America was, I think, the number one owner of blockchain technology because they knew, hey, a solution like this could really help us solve a lot of issues around fraud.
Okay.
Detection of fraud, right? Also, just having a way to document financial transactions.
Yes.
Right? That someone can't just go in and edit them. So that's been a huge adopter. And then I think too, another major industry looking into this is the healthcare setting, right? How do we kind of track on the blockchain all these different transactions? How can we, you know, medical records, genetic data, right? Nobody wants that just leaked. So what's the tool we can use to kind of store this cryptographically so that it can't get hacked? And then also know that it's trusted and really is somebody's genetic data, their whatever it is. But so it's just very interesting to see how this technology is getting adopted and used. And a lot of times too, consumers maybe don't even realize these different institutions are running things on blockchain because it's all kind of happening on the back end.
It's almost like what AI is, right?
Right.
Like we go to all these things today and we're like, AI is hot and trendy, but like Meta, Facebook's been using it for years or many other things.
Oh yeah. I mean, the number of just take your cell phone, you get all these ads pushed. That's AI in the background detecting, things you're talking about, things you're browsing for, and then pushing out content that's similar and related to it.
Yeah. You like Spotify song artist this, check out this. You like this YouTube video, we're going to serve up this one. That's all AI. It's not a human sitting there saying, what is Katie like? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I want people to realize, like, you don't have to understand the technology to use it. Like, think about my light switch. Do I really understand electricity in the way that I need to really understand it? Now, all I know is even a 5-year-old kid, hey, go turn on the light, psh, and they enjoy it. And that's what Instant IP is really meant to do. It's not meant to be like, oh my gosh, you got to know everything about, digital wallets and cryptographic hashes and stuff. Like, no, you literally go from smartphone to smart contract. You press a button, then you choose your idea via picture, text, or file and press protect. And then we take care of the rest, similar to Caldwell with patents. Oh my gosh, I don't want to know patentees. And, but that's really what you're doing is the who, not how, the Dan Sullivan strategic coach. You don't need to know how, you just need to know the who. And the who in this case is Instant IP or Caldwell.
Yeah, I love that concept, because so much tech, it can really serve to make our lives so much easier and do things right quicker, less hurdles. And a lot of times we get nervous about is this going to replace me or I'm not going to know what to do. But once you kind of start to use it and figure it out, you realize how transformative it can be too.
Absolutely. Well, Katie, this has been a blast today. I knew that Bitcoin will get people in the door a lot of times on these conversations because there's just a personality that likes to see a digital currency go up and down, and it's a cultural phenomenon. But I want people to realize whether Bitcoin goes up or down, Instant IP is the utility that is going to be the constant. And if people are really nerdy and care about this, we use a blockchain called Polygon, and it's a cryptocurrency called Matic, and it's called Ethereum Layer 2. So all I'm telling people is, like, you don't have to be like, oh my gosh, instant IP is going to cost me $1 million. It's not. We were using a very smart, it's called low gas, you know, because there was that whole thing, remember a few years ago, Katie, where people were like, oh, blockchain is bad for the environment. Well, it's really not. You know, you don't need to use these certain blockchains that require a lot of power. You can use ones that essentially, based upon the technology, can dispatch thousands of transactions at once, and therefore it's not a lot of money or power. So it's really cool where we've come, and I really thank Caldwell for taking that little idea that I had and just us having conversations and writing about it. It's turned into a pretty cool thing. So Katie, if people want more about Caldwell, because they have an idea that might be on blockchain or other topics, caldwelllaw.com.
That's right. Yep. You can just go there, and we have a lot of experience doing a lot of work in the blockchain crypto space. So we have some examples of that on our website that you can read about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then check out Katie and I's book. It'll blow your minds. We're hearing a lot of people say, ooh, I knew about IP. Yeah. Oh, you got one. I got one. Boom. There it is. As an author, I tell people you always have to carry one with you, because
you never know when it comes in handy. Yeah.
Listen, there might be somebody who's like, Katie, here's a microphone, speak, and you gotta roll, you know? But I encourage people to get the book. Somebody even recently put in the review, thanks for the complimentary course with the book. And that is true. The book comes with a course about IP and a free smart contract. So definitely get that today. And Katie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.